series called The Holy Spirit And. The Holy Spirit And. And we're going to be touching on over the subject of the Holy Spirit leading up to the day of Pentecost, discussing just the subject of the Holy Spirit And. And today I would like to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and prayer. Everybody say, and prayer. When I read the stories of the men and women that are in the Bible, I read about their stories, and what happens is I become encouraged by their great faith. In fact, as I read the stories, I'm also challenged by what I read. And it seems to me, and I could be wrong, but you guys check me on this, it seems to me that they actually believed that when they prayed, things were going to change. From Genesis to Revelation, what I see in the stories of the men and women, of their stories, that when they prayed, they actually believed that things were going to change. This is going to go up for you. When they prayed, things changed. When I was a junior in college at Bethany, when I wasn't playing basketball, there would be these semester or quarters of the semester that I could go home, where my parents lived in Castro Valley, California, and I could actually go home. My mom would get to do my laundry. She loved it. And I would go to church with them. So about once every 3 weeks, I'd be able to go home and do this. If you put in the Google Maps from Scotts Valley to Castro Valley, it's depending on traffic, it can be anywhere from a 50-minute ride up to an hour and a half, just depending on that. And so one night, I couldn't get off the campus until around 1:32 in the morning, and so I got on the road. Well, I experienced something that I hadn't experienced in a long time, and that was no traffic in California. Like, there was nobody on these roads. And you would have to drive through the Santa Cruz Hills, and it's like a Hot Wheels track. I mean, it's just so fun to drive. And with no cars, I was driving 90 miles an hour. I'll be honest with you. I was flying through these mountains. And I come down on a Highway 17, I hit 880, and I just decide to go ahead and keep going home, driving 90 miles an hour. Well, guys, I said an hour and 15 minutes. Now I made it home in like 30. Can imagine? All of a sudden, now not being an hour or to an hour and 15 minutes, now I made it home in like 30 minutes. And so I went, you know, I discovered something. I was like, dude, that's what you do every time you go home now. You go home at 2 a.m., you drive at 90 miles an hour, you get home. So about 3 weeks later, I get in my car and I'm doing the same thing. I'm driving in this like Honda CRX, if you guys remember those. And I'm just zipping through and I'm having a blast. I'm listening to music, the windows are down, and I'm just enjoying it. I come down off of Highway 17, hit 880, and the blue lights hit me. And this is the first time, this is like 1987, I'd never seen a highway patrol, the chips, in a truck. I'd never seen them in a truck. And this truck pulls me over. And so the guy, the highway patrolman, comes up and we do that little dance that they love to do with us. Son, where's the fire? Sir, there's no fire. Well, what's so important that you got to, sir, there's nothing that important. Are you sure? Did you cut yourself? You missing some limbs or something? No, sir, I didn't cut myself. Well, give me your license and registration. So he goes back to his car. I see him in my rearview mirror. I'm watching him. He flips on his light, and he starts writing me my ticket. I can see it. And so, guys, I remember this just like it happened yesterday. I put my head on my steering wheel, and I started this. Dear God, please, 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 please change this man's mind. Lord God, Lord, please, I can't take this ticket right now. Please just give him mercy in his heart that he'll just let me go, that he'll look the other way. And I hear his door shut. And he comes, he's walking up, he's got my license. He goes, son, it says you live in Castro Valley, but you're coming from Scotts Valley. What's going on? I said, well, I go to school at Bethany, and I'm just a student. I'm trying to make it sound really sad. I haven't seen my parents. And he goes, all right, we'll just sit here. And he goes back. He starts to go back. And so he turns to go, and then right then, like in NASCAR, a Corvette, a Camaro, and a motorcycle go, boom, 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 like about 130 miles an hour. I'm not even kidding. And that highway patrolman stops, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and he goes, and I thought he was going to tell me, don't you move, and he goes, you can go. And he grabs his walkie-talkie and starts yelling into it. And I'm sitting in my car with my window. I watch him speed off. I watch the blue lights disappear, and I'm sitting in my car with my window down, and I look over to the left, there's nothing, and to the right, there's nothing, and I just go, thank you, God. God. Now, listen, I don't want to act like it was God that sent those cars screaming by so that I could get out of the ticket, but I was still thankful, amen? You know what I mean? Very thankful. When they prayed, things changed. A man by the name of Martin Luther, he was born in 1483, died in 1546, but this man pretty much was the one who led the Reformation, the Great Reformation. And he made this quote right here, and I want to read this to you, and it says it this way. In fact, let me say this before we read the quote. Take that off just for a second. One of the things that's important to understand is because of what Martin Luther did, pulling away from the Catholic Church, that today in 2022, the way that we worship, the way that we can gather like this, is because of his leading, following the Holy Spirit. So here's what he says. He says, "I have so much business, I cannot get on without spending 3 hours in daily prayer." This man, not just being responsible for leading the Reformation, but he had all this pressure, he had all this expectancy on his life. And he basically is saying it this way: unless I spend 3 hours in prayer, I will not be able to get through my day. John Wesley said it this way, that God does nothing but in answer to prayer. If you really look at what he's saying right there, is that whether you prayed for it or not, somebody else has prayed for it, and God is responding in prayer. He's constantly responding and moving in prayer. The Holy Spirit and prayer. Everybody say and prayer. When God moves, and he will, and he does, even if you didn't do it, somebody else is. And God is responding to that God responds to your prayer. Believed that God responds to prayer. How many of us are thankful that God responds to your prayers? Amen? Praise the Lord. So let me define prayer. It's very simple. The definition of prayer is communication between man and God. A two-way relationship where God is speaking, or where we get to talk to God, but we also get to listen to him. I think about when we communicate, guys, think about this. How many times that we use these things called email and text that we will send, and how quickly, just when we hit send, that the person who receives it on the other side can quickly mistranslate what you were trying to say through a text or an email. There is this thing on iPhone, I'm sure it's on the Galaxies and all that, but it has autocorrect. And I'll be texting, and the next thing you know, I send it, and I have almost sent off a whole bunch of swear words because of autocorrect. I'm joking. You know what I mean. It just kind of changes things up. I was in the restroom just earlier talking to Jesse. By the way, Jesse, good to see you, dude, back on the drums. Let's give him a hand. It was great to see you. I'm having a conversation with him, and I'm saying, "Hey, man, it's good to see you. Good to have you back." And he's like, "Yeah." And I thought I heard him say, "I got Sundays off now." So I went, "Praise God." But what he had said was, "Yeah, I don't have Sundays off, so it's hard for me." And I'm sitting there going, "Praise God, you can't come to church." I mean, we can be standing right next to each other and mishear or mistranslate or miscommunicate. And guys, here's the thing, is that when you call on God, you will always have his full attention, and he will never be confused about what is your need or what is on your heart. In fact, I believe this, that in the moment that I call on Jesus, when I speak the name of Jesus in my prayers or my cries, that I believe that all of heaven's attention is turned toward me. I believe this. The Holy Spirit is involved in every facet of our spiritual life, that even in our prayers. You know, the world is okay with prayer today. I don't know if you guys realize this. Atmosphere, they're praying to space. They're now even praying to themselves in the Illuminati, all these other things where we are the higher power. But as soon as we say, "Yeah, we pray, but we pray in the name of Jesus," all of a sudden now we are the crazy ones. And I'm just being serious. This is how the world views it. Joy Behar of The View said this. This is her quote. "It's one thing to talk to Jesus. It's another thing when Jesus talks to you. That's called mental illness. If I'm not correct, hearing voices." So guys, the world thinks that we're crazy because we believe that Jesus is alive. That's the only thing that hinges on this. Because we believe that Jesus is alive, because we believe that when we speak the name of Jesus, when we talk to him, that he will respond to us, we're crazy. The Holy Spirit and prayer. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. Many of us have had those moments. I don't know about you, but I've had those moments where I'm sitting there and I'm wanting to pray, but I don't have the words. I'm hurt or I'm devastated or I'm confused or whatever. I just recently had that happen. I'm in California there for my grandfather's funeral. We pull up to IHOP to have breakfast with some friends. We go in and give our name to the people to take our names, and right then somebody smashes and grabs and gets into our car. Steals all my stuff, steals part of my dad's stuff. And we have to call the cops, we fill out the police reports, we're doing all this stuff, and I'm just sitting out in the car by myself with my family and them. They're in there just trying to kind of wait on the police and what they're doing. And I'm sitting in the car, and guys, I'm praying, but there's not a word coming out of my mouth. I'm confused. I'm saying things like, God, really? We come out here to my grandfather's funeral, and we get our car smashed in? God, really? I mean, can you find these guys and put boils on their body? Message says, meanwhile, Romans 8:26 says it this way, and this is the message. It says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs or our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. The NIV says it this way, that in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Isn't it great to know that the Holy Spirit prays for you? That the Holy Spirit intercedes for you, that so great is his love that he asks God to help us. So great is his desire for you to walk a Spirit-led life that he intercedes on your behalf when you don't even know what to pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says this, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me just address this. I know we're going to have other weeks where they're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and Pentecost and all that, but let me just say this. Praying in the Holy Spirit for an AG boy, or somebody who is from the Church of God or non-denominational, that you've been in a charismatic faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, the first thing we think of is speaking in tongues. Or we talk about the heavenly language. Or how about this, that we are praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. But with our Baptist brothers and sisters in Church of Christ and all these that might not operate in that, they're thinking of praying in the Holy Spirit is praying with or by the means of the Holy Spirit, or having the mind of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this, that no matter what faith we come from, that praying in the Holy Spirit, because we're going to see this in Scripture, according to the will of God. Now guys, you got to capture what I'm saying, because we're going to see this in Scripture, that praying in the Spirit is praying according to the will of God. Praying in the Spirit can also be never uttering a single word. I can tell you what praying in the Spirit is not. And this is deep. Are you guys ready for a deep one? Praying in the Spirit is not praying in the flesh. Praying in the Holy Spirit is not praying in the flesh. Jesus actually addresses these thoughts on fleshly prayers found in Matthew 6, 5 through 7. He says, if you're praying to be seen, or if you're praying lengthy prayers for show, he's not into it. He's saying if you're praying bogus or false, empty prayers, you're using lots of words, he's saying you're just pretending, and I'm not into that. You see, praying in the Spirit is not about my ability, that I can do this or that I will fix this. You know, fleshly driven prayers is about my human ability, my effort to carry the prayer forward. A good prayer life or a strong prayer life is not based on how long or how much prayer we can log in. Sometimes we try to overcome a dry time or a difficult season in our lives by focusing on how well we are praying. We start leaning on our own ability to have the perfectly composed, doctrinally correct, right diction, cadence, language, emotion, and volume. And Jesus is sitting there saying, we're missing it. Something's missing here. You see, praying in the flesh is the counterfeit or the imitation of praying in the Spirit. I'll tell you what praying in the Spirit is. It's getting caught up in how the Holy Spirit is going to carry the prayer forward. Not only is he taking it from you, but he's also moving. And at the same time, he's filling you with life. Everybody look at me real quick. I'm talking about real life. Because I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are. And the dust settles. My oldest son went through this. When a bomb goes off and the dust settles, sometimes all we have left is our faith. And who we pray to is very, very important. That when you call on God, that you would understand that when you call on him, that he is there and he's waiting to answer. It's real life. It's not imitation. You can't fake it. He's filling you with your power and your presence. You see, flesh-centered prayers, we are pushing the prayer through. But while we're praying in the Spirit, it's experiencing the Holy Spirit, bringing that prayer to life and allowing him to carry that prayer to the Father. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to do this. Have you ever had this happen when you've been praying? Okay, I'm going to give you an illustration of this. I'm going to use maybe even how I've done it in the past. And if you say, no, Pastor Matt, I've never struggled with this, we're going to walk you out to a room over here that's held for if you lie, we need to pray you through or whatever. I'm joking. So here's the prayer. You guys ready? Here's the prayer. God, I just want to lift up my brother who is struggling with cancer. And God, let your power, let your healing power. I really need to call him. I need to check on him. I wonder if Lori has, I'm going to have to call Lori and see. And maybe I'll ask her to lunch and we can go from there. God, why is it so hot in here? That song. Listen to that song. Oh, this is a great song to pray to. Okay, so God, what were we talking about? It's how quickly we can get distracted in a prayer time. How many of y'all have had that happen? I mean, you just literally, just doing that right there, I've already started thinking about lunch. Church, I want to see all of us be Spirit-led in our prayers. Church, I want to see more consistency in our prayer lives, that God would give us the ability to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. In Acts chapter 4, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but in Acts chapter 4, there's a story where Peter and John are standing before the council. The council's there, blah, blah, blah. They're giving them like, what about this healing? Who's the name that you say you're coming under? Blah, blah, blah. They're giving them a hard time. They're wanting to throw them in prison. They're wanting to have them killed, but they end up releasing them. We know that in chapter 4 that they go back to their people, to the disciples and the other followers, and they tell them what happened. And it says that they immediately went into a time of praise and a time of prayer. But in Acts 4:31, it says this right here, that when they, what? Say it. Finished praying. When they finished praying. Guys, I want you to capture what I'm talking about here. It's when they finished praying. The prayer was finished. It's after they prayed that this happened. Listen what happened. The place where they were meeting was shaken. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All began proclaiming God's message in boldness. That when the prayer time was finished, when the Holy Spirit got involved, that's when things exploded. You have to understand something, that it's not just the before, it's not just in the middle. It can also happen when it's over, that the Holy Spirit and prayer is taking place. The Holy Spirit is involved in the beginning before you even know what you're going to pray. While you're praying, while you're lifting it up to the Lord, and when it's done, he's still not through. He's still interceding on your behalf. That's something to really, really be thankful for. That when you get up from a prayer meeting, it's not over then. Holy Spirit is still working on your behalf. Your prayers matter, church. Let me say that to you. I really mean this. Your prayers matter. My kids, all three of my kids, were little prayer warriors. Chase would pray. Ryder, you couldn't leave the room until you had prayed with him. Skye, when she was a little girl, I think she was 2.5, 3 years old, I had taken her to bed. She had her little sippy cup and whatever, and I laid her down. And I was leaning over her bed, and I said, "Now, baby, you ready to pray?" And she goes, how many of you guys have seen the movie Elf? There's a scene where Elf is at the doctor's office with this little girl, and he's eating the cotton ball thing. I said, "Baby, are you ready to pray?" She's cute and whispery, whatever. And Skye's voice was just like that when she was little. So I said, "Baby, are you ready to pray?" She goes, "Yeah, Daddy." I said, "Okay, we'll start praying." She goes, "Dear Jesus, thank you for Mommy. Thank you for Daddy. Thank you for Mimi and Papa. Thank you for Shuggy. Thank you for Chase.
Thank you for Mickey and Minnie.
And she starts going through all of the Disney characters. So I'm sitting there over the top of her because she hadn't done that before. And I start smiling, listening to her prayer. Well, she's looking at me and she starts bawling. And I go, baby. I go, why are you crying? And she's just crying. I go, did you think Daddy was laughing at you? And she goes, she just nodded her head. Just a little tyke, you know? And little tyke, I don't ever use that word. Man, what's going on, man? I don't even know where that word came from, little tyke. Anyway, so I'm looking at her, I go, baby, no. I go, Daddy wants Minnie and Mickey to have a great week. Let's pray again. We'll do it again, okay? And so I got her settled down. She stopped crying. And I said, okay, start praying again. So I leaned over, and she goes, dear Jesus, thank you for Mommy and Daddy, for Mimi and Papa, for Shuggy, for Chase. And I'm looking at her through my eyes, but it's closed, so she thinks my eyes are closed. And as soon as she says, and for Mickey, she looks at me. And she keeps praying, and I go, yes, God, bless Mickey, bless Manny, yes, Lord, oh, empower their week, you know. And so, guys, but here's the thing is that she was dead serious about that prayer. And here, let me finish this. Not only was she dead serious about it, but she wanted me to take it seriously, too. Can y'all see the beautiful picture about what some people might think that your prayers, why are you praying for that? But you see, if it matters to you, then it matters to the Father. No matter what people say, no matter how that they might respond or what they think about what you're praying about, it doesn't matter, because if it matters to you, it matters to the Father. Everything matters to Him, and I would say take it to Him in prayer. Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for it is important, and it is asking Him with a thankful heart. You see, prayer is important, and it is important to us at Harvest. I'm just going to let you guys in on a little study secret of mine, but when I study for messages, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays are really I go really hard at it. Monday, I do a lot of research. Sunday night, Mondays, I'm doing a lot of research. And so, like, on Wednesdays and Thursday mornings, I'm here at 6 a.m. every week. I get in here because it gives me some hours before people get into the office, and I'm not disturbed. And on Tuesdays, I try to get here at 5 a.m. if I can do it, you know, and it just gives me a little extra hour or whatever. So this one Tuesday, I was here, and I'm in there studying. I got my worship going. Well, 6 o'clock comes along. I didn't know it, an hour had already passed, but I just hear somebody start yelling. And I kind of turn off my music. I go, God, don't tell me somebody's fighting in the church. You know, because I can hear, I mean, they sound like they're going at it. And I'm like, seriously? And so I get up and I go to my door, I get out, and I go to look out, and I realize the Tuesday morning, 6 a.m., people are in there praying. And I'm like, oh, whoa, you know, they're in there bringing down the house. They're in there praying for our world, praying for our nation. So I just fling open the doors, and while I'm studying, I'm just listening to this prayer come into my office. You guys might not know this, but every Wednesday night, we have a mini sermon that goes from 7 to 7:25, 7:30, and then from 7:30 to 8:30, we come together as a church, and we're praying for our world, for our nation, for our families, for our children. We're praying for everything. And here's the thing is this is what I want you to catch. The culture, there is a culture of prayer here at the church. There's a culture of prayer here at Harvest because we have made the prayer meeting a priority. It's important to us. It is a spirit-led prayer. It is a collective effort. We're not just listening, but we're participating. Spirit-led prayer is the thing that the devil will fight the most because he knows you mean business. Guys, listen to this one right here. Satan knows that anything is possible when God is possible when God... Guys, listen, that Satan knows that anything is possible when God's people pray. Come on, let's receive this. Satan knows that anything is possible when God's people get together and we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise on that. I would just say ask and keep on asking. You know, I ask my dad every Christmas that I can remember for a three-wheeler. This is back before four-wheelers, okay? Remember, now we got four-wheelers, ATV machines, whatever. But back in my day, they were three-wheelers. These three big honking tires on this motorcycle that you could just kill yourself on every day. And I wanted one every Christmas. And I never got one because I wasn't praying in the will of the Father. You know what I mean? But guys, I say ask and you keep on asking. This is a devotional that I just got myself. I don't do this. I'm not a big devotional person as far as writing it down and stuff, but God told me to do this. And guys, so ever since then, I've got stuff in here from Pastor Brad, from William, from some stuff that I've done that I'm just looking at, how is God going to answer the prayers in my life, and what is he going to do in my life? And here's the thing is that in this, there's things that I've written down for my family, for people in the church, and you know what? Until those prayers are answered, I keep asking. We were at Awakening, this last Awakening, and I want to encourage you this May, you do not want to miss it. How many of you have never been to an Awakening service? Go ahead. It's okay. I'm not going to judge you much. I'm not kidding. I'm kidding. I want to encourage you this May that you will be at Awakening, because it is so powerful, and we're looking for God to do something amazing. But I'm standing there with my wife. We know that the Awakening services are geared to seeing people experience the Holy Spirit and healing and all this. And I go, babe, I go, my foot is really hurting tonight. And she goes, well, Matt, you got to go. And I go, well, babe, I did have them pray last time. She goes, keep going. And she, you know, I'm like, I will, you know. And she, but it's like you keep asking. Well, in Luke chapter 11, Jesus said to them, you guys, check this out. He tells this story. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. And a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, seek, and knock, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be open. You take audacity, or that phrase in any translation where Jesus is talking about that, audacity in the Greek is basically saying, be shameless. Be bold in your shameless pursuit of being granted what you are asking for. Be shameless. Church, don't stop asking. You ask and you ask and you ask until God says yes. Amen. Bold, audacious prayers bring the breakthroughs that we need. Breakthroughs that I can't get on my own. Breakthroughs that we just know money cannot buy. Breakthroughs where no doctor or prescription is going to be able to fulfill it. It's only going to come from the Father. Breakthrough is a military concept. And I want to share this to you, that when one army is able to weaken its enemy's forces to the point of collapse, a breakthrough occurs, allowing that army to invade and take its enemy's territory. But here's the thing I want you to catch. Everybody check this out. But in war, a breakthrough only matters if it occurs at a strategic location. Doesn't matter if you take down some trees and some houses over here. If it's not a breakthrough, then when we began to pray for it, it doesn't matter. And the enemy knows this. That when we began to pray for a strategic breakthrough in our lives, the enemy is going to double down to try and keep that breakthrough from happening. John Bloom says it this way, that if you're praying for a breakthrough and not seeing it, do not give up. Opposition precedes breakthroughs. So I got 3 thoughts, and I'm closing this up. I promise I won't take too much longer, but here's the 3 thoughts, and it's really 3 requests that you need to bring to God. And I want us all to verbalize these. I want you to use your voice. The first one is this right here. God, please listen to me. Let's say that together. God, please listen to me. Now, I want to make sure that I say this before we go through these that I have. I understand God already knows to listen to us, but the scriptures are filled with men and women who still cried out, God, are you listening? God, please hear my cry. Listen to me. So it's important that we say that. It's good for us to say that. It's a good conversation to have with him. Everybody wants to be heard. Nobody wants to be silenced. God gave you and I voices, voices to say whatever is on our hearts to God, to take our day-to-day lives to him. Psalms 5, 1 through 3 says this. Look at this. Listen to my words, O Lord, and hear my sighs. Listen to my cry for help, my God and King. I pray to you, O Lord. You hear my voice in the morning, and at sunrise, I offer my prayer and wait for your answer. I would say this. I think it's important for us that When you think about having this relationship with God and talking to him, sometimes we just need to go to God with gut level honesty. Does everybody know what I'm talking about when I say that? Just that gut level honesty. It's where you're just being as real as you can. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit's going to help you with that. It might be this right here. There are times where you just say, God, I just don't get it. I've been trying to do what I thought you wanted me to do, and it's been hard. What's going on? Is it you? Is it me? Just talk to me. God, I don't even know what or how to pray. There may be times you can't control it anymore. What's yours? Your capacity to control a situation. You can't control it anymore. It's so hard to pray when you feel this way. God, please listen to me. I'm concerned. How about this one? God, I'm just nervous. I'm nervous about what's going on. Sometimes we find ourselves in the place of having to ask God with the help of the Holy Spirit, asking God, listen to this, a really big ask. And here's the thing about a really big ask, is that when we have to ask for something like that, it's usually going to expose what's really kind of going on in our situations. And you know who it's being exposed to? God already knows. Sometimes it gets exposed to the people who we trust and who we believe in, who we feel has our backs. And here's the thing is that when that gets exposed, we know human nature. There are those that you think will have your back and they don't. And then there's those that you wouldn't think in a million years would have your back and they do. We don't get to figure that out. All we do is we still go to God, because here's what happens is when you make a really big ask to the Lord and it exposes what's really going on in your situation, it's the one opportunity where the family of God gets to surround you and begin to follow with you of what you're asking for. Really big asks, I'm just telling you, they're very difficult to do. They're hard to do. Sometimes you feel humiliated when you have to do it, but if you want your circumstance to change, I think of addiction, I think of hurt, I think of marriages and financial instability, I think of all these things that we can get so embarrassed about, we don't want anybody to know about, but if we would just take it to the Lord, not only is he going to be able to move, but the family of God gets to surround you and begin to pray and to pick, come on church, and then we get to get out of this, we get to go through a breakthrough. Instead of being trapped, because that's where he wants us to be. Everybody needs a breakthrough. Everybody does. Zacharias asked for strength and protection. Solomon needed wisdom. He needed it. Jabez prayed for strength and protection. Hannah prayed for a son. Gideon needed a sign. Abraham had a servant who prayed that God would give him favor to find a wife for Isaac. David prayed for forgiveness so many times. Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. Paul prayed for the thorn to be removed. The disciples prayed for boldness. And Jesus prayed for the disciples that they would be one and be united. When I read this, I see that what we pray from God, it matters. That he's paying attention to this. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him. That if we ask anything according to his will. Now check this out. Where did we talk about according to his will earlier? It was talking about praying in the Spirit. That this is the truth that we get out of the scriptures is that when we pray according to his will, that we pray in the Spirit. So anything praying in the Spirit that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us. Praying in the Spirit, confident about abiding, combined with the power of the Holy Spirit, produces amazing results. That God is fully capable of doing that which man sees as impossible. So again, God, please listen to me. Here's the second response to God is this, is God, please speak to me. Let's say that together. God, please speak to me. In 1 Samuel 3:1-10, there's the story of Samuel. This young boy that's given by his mother to the temple so that he can serve God. We know that he's exactly where he needs to be. He's in the presence of the Lord. And when he hears the voice of God, he doesn't recognize it because that relationship hasn't been established yet. But through obedience, because of his relationship with God, scriptures say for the rest of Samuel's life, he obeyed God. And because of that, God continued speaking to him. The world's going to say that you have mental... We want God speaking to us. The world's going to say that you have mental illness or something's wrong with you, but that's what we want. Look, if we're just coming to church to try to meet the Mr. and Mrs., or if we're just coming to church because of the lights and the guitars and stuff like that, we're missing it. We come here so that God will speak into our lives, so that we will have relationship with him. Can I get an amen on that? The apostles and the disciples, they figured this out. They knew exactly what to do. We know that in that story that as soon as they were released, they went back to their people. Guys, check this out. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. God is and will speak to us because we are continually speaking to him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is," what does it say? Which is what? Praying in the Spirit. That we're talking to him in the Spirit. "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, so do not quench the Spirit." Talk in the Spirit. Like, come on, let's pray in the Spirit. Let's let the Spirit intercede for us, but don't do anything to quench that Spirit. Start looking for the ways God is speaking to you through his word, through his son Jesus, through God's creation, through those that God's going to send you other believers into your life, through music or through our circumstances, through his Spirit and prayer. And here's my third and final thought. God, please speak for me. Everybody say it. God, please speak for me. Romans 8:26, we read this earlier, but this is the ESV version. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints." They made the apostles stand before the will of God. Acts 4, 7, and 8 says they made the apostles stand before them and asked him, "How did you do this? What power do you have, or whose name did you use?" Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, answered them. Can you imagine trying to be Peter at that time? Like, what words? I think that's the thing that makes us so nervous about talking about Jesus to others, is what do I say? Did you know you don't even have to worry about that? Because when that time comes, the Holy Spirit's going to speak for you. I promise you, you might think it sounded terrible, and you'll walk away like, what was that that came out of my mouth? But you just never know what God has just planted into their hearts. And that's what we do. We go by letting the Holy Spirit speak for us. In Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'm going to close this up. So worship team, if you want to come on up. Can we give our worship team a hand, man? They just did an amazing job this morning. Amen. The Holy Spirit and prayer. I'm going to do something today. I want to challenge every person in this room to something. And I really want you to take this challenge personally. This would be like me asking you after church to go out and we're going to play basketball, and I challenge you to a game of 21, whatever. I'm just saying. You, a lot of you probably already beat me right now. But guys, listen, I want you to take this challenge personally. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. We're going to pray together. We're going to do these things. And at the end, I'm going to challenge you. And I'm asking you right now that even though you don't know what the challenge is, that God is going to prepare your heart. I pray that you'll pray that. Even as you worship to God. Worship team, same thing, all of you. That God is going to challenge you with what I'm going to ask of you. So let's all stand.